We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Ken, if you were elected governor, what are three things that you would do to try and create more jobs and improve Rhode Island's economy?
We have to come up with the cost savings first and foremost to then have the flexibility to be able to have the luxury of saying, what are the things we're going to do to make things better? The thing that I hear over and over again from politicians is promises, I'm going to cut this tax or do this thing, but they don't tell you how you're going to get there. The way I'm going to get there is identify and save $1 billion of savings in wasteful spending. We're going to put that money back into the pockets of taxpayers where it's appropriate, where it's budgetary savings. We're going to keep that money. We're going to first and foremost close our budget deficit gap. We're going to be able to consider unravelings, what I consider to be some bad decisions like the Saconic River Bridge toll. And most importantly, we're then going to have the luxury of being able to say, what are the tax changes and other policy changes that are make the most sense for being the most stimulative?
You mentioned the Saconic River Bridge toll, so let me ask you about that. If you don't support that toll, how would you come up with the money to maintain bridges in Rhode Island?
I believe that part of the cost savings of efficiencies of what we're going to find going through government spending will provide the dollars necessary to make those tolls no longer necessary.
Let's go to Scott.
Is it realistic to think that manufacturing is going to come back to Rhode Island in a big way? Or are most of these jobs gone to the third world?
I think that we've seen as a country a lot of manufacturing jobs leave. We actually have a fair amount of, there's more than 200 manufacturers in this state. There's some good stuff happening manufacturing-wise, but we're not going to be what we were.
Right.
There's no question.
And the low skills end of it is probably
There's no question. So what's important for Rhode Island is to be competitive with our neighboring states, so that businesses of all types can look at us and say, I want to come do business inside Rhode Island as opposed to staying out.
Why do you think the Massachusetts economy is doing so much better than Rhode Island?
The cost of doing business is lower than it is here.
Not much.
No, it is. If you really look at it, we have the country's most expensive unemployment insurance system. By far, Massachusetts is substantially less expensive.
Yeah, but they have they have their own Obamacare system.
They do, and it's a little bit more expensive, but when we're done with Obamacare here, where our cost of health insurance will be substantially higher than it is there.
You don't think it's about workforce development and training at all?
Well, we have an educational crisis here. We graduate way too many kids who aren't ready to be graduated. I think that's a part of it, but if you really look at the economics of it, most business owners will tell you when they look at the economics of it, it's easy to decide not to come to Rhode Island.
We saw how when Lincoln Amend and Don Carcheri were governor of Rhode Island, there weren't enough Republicans in the General Assembly to sustain a gubernatorial veto. If you're elected governor, how will you get any more cooperation from the General Assembly?
Well, I believe you have to have open communications with the General Assembly. The economic development and the basic finance ideas that I have are rock solid. I think there's a general acknowledgement that we have to do things substantially differently than we've been doing. And I think that all people at many levels of government and a lot of voters need us to do things differently than we've done them before. I have a lot of new ideas for how to fix things.
Speaking of governors and economic development, did Governor Lincoln Chafee offer you the chance to head the State Economic Development Corporation?
I am not going to comment one way or the other about anything like that.
Why would you not take on that opportunity?
If it was offered to me, I don't know that I would take it for a simple reason, because we're not ready to begin selling what we have here, because we have to fix the basic environment that we're offering. It's very hard to sell ice to Eskimos, and it's very hard to sell the current environment economically that we have here to businesses outside the state. We have to fix what's broken first.
Just to close out this question, the General Assembly this session passed a bunch of legislation to try and restructure the Economic Development Corporation. Those changes are supposed to become effective when the next governor takes over. What do you make of those changes? Are they correct? And if not, how would you do things?
I can't really speak to what the changes are going to look like since they haven't been made yet. I can tell you that across the board, I would look very carefully at the Department of Labor and Training, very, very carefully at the EDC once I'm in, and I think I would be inclined to make substantial changes.
The Affordable Care Act, you're a computer guy. There's been some real glitches, as we know. What do you think they did wrong, and is there a possibility we can bail this thing out?
So a lot of classic mistakes were made on a really big, expensive project like this. You can't jam all of the requirements in at the tail end like what happened here. Just because you have a large corporation doesn't mean you get the best programming experience. That's common knowledge, and yet we made the mistake. You can always fix a computer system that's broken. It usually takes time and money, and we're bleeding out massive amounts of both of those things, and they'll probably get it working good enough.
We're talking here with Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Block, and you're on record as supporting a constitutional convention. What are the top things that you think should be addressed during a such a convention.
We're only one of six states that does not give their governor a line item veto. That's number one, 100%. We have a crazy budgetary process. Most of our legislators have to approve an $8 billion budget with 1 week of review.
That's not really true. They hold hearings for months and
hearings,
months.
But the hearings
months.
About issues that often don't reflect the meat of what's in the budget.
Well, if the lawmakers, if people want to pay attention, there is a lot of opportunity in the State House. That's kind of a myth that this thing only has a week. I mean, the fact is there's a long process month after month.
How many
after
legislators
month.
Have you asked about the process?
There are things that come up at the last minute, like the Sakonnet toll.
There are.
This time
but
around.
Nonetheless, it's just a myth to say that any scrutiny.
Go ahead and ask a lot of legislators what they think about the process, and they'll tell you it's a broken process.
Ken, let's hear a little more from you on other things that you think need to be addressed through a constitutional convention.
So the line item veto is the biggest one, in my opinion. The master lever is something that I believe most voters, and by the way, most legislators would like to see gotten rid of. The General Assembly is loath to give up power willingly. And so when they don't do it, the Constitutional Convention is there to try and balance that out. Those are two of the bigger things that I think we have to try and get done for sure.
Well, for instance, what powers would you take away from the General Assembly? They are the people. They're elected by the people. They're closest to government.
So, for instance, the light item veto is a balancing of power between the General Assembly and the executive branch, and there's 44 states that have done it. When Rhode Island stands out like a sore thumb, it's often not for good reasons, and that's one of them for sure.
What role do you see the Tea Party playing in Rhode Island's Republican primary?
It's a fairly small organization in the scheme of things, and I think that its impact will be what's interesting with the Rhode Island Tea Party and Rhode Island Republicans to a large extent is they're really focused on the fiscal issues first and foremost. And as long as the election and in general focuses on the fiscal issues, I think you're going to find a lot of people finding common ground.
Do you plan on seeking support from those sorts of people in the electorate?
I will seek the support of every organization that's out there, from the AFL-CIO to the Tea Parties.
What do you have to offer the AFL-CIO?
What I have to offer them is a vision where...
Do you want to bring the minimum wage up, for instance, increase the minimum wage?
You know, I don't have a specific problem with talking about increasing the minimum wage. I don't. The problem is, again, we can't make one of these changes without basically better improving the economy on a whole. When you make changes piecemeal and leave out the bigger picture is where you suffer the kind of problems that we have now.
How much money do you need to spend to run an effective campaign against your Republican rival, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung?
It's hard to know what the primary is going to run right now. I mean, it's going to be a blending of both the primary and the general. I mean, our primary is so late in the season, you really have to jump right into the general election the day after the primary, and you only have 7 weeks. So I don't know what the cost is going to be, but whatever it needs to be spent will get spent to get the job done.
Do you support the People's Pledge proposed by Democratic candidate Angel Taveras as a way to reduce the amount of outside money spent in the election?
I think in principle it makes sense. I think in practice it's very difficult to make that stick. And, I don't know what I'm going to do with that pledge at this point. We're still looking at it.
What do you think of the pension overhaul that was championed by State General Treasurer Gina Raimondo? And is there anything that you would do differently?
I think that that economic crisis required the action that got taken. For me, and the message to everybody involved in it is, we knew 20 and 30 years ago that this was going to be where we ended up. And we could have made small changes to the pension system 20 and 30 years ago to have avoided this. And so when you talk about the unions and you talk about labor, my message to them is, you can continue to elect the people who tell you what you want to hear, but you're going to be happier in the long run by electing people who deal with you honestly and try and do what's right for everybody.
It seems as if much of Rhode Island's Republican establishment has coalesced behind Alan Fung. Do you see any chance of getting the Republican endorsement, and is that even significant?
Look, I mean, every endorsement is important, in my opinion. We have begun the process. We just met with the North Kingston GOP. That was the first town committee we've gone to. The message was remarkably well received. We will get the message out. We will talk to people, and then we'll let people make up their minds and make an informed decision several months from now.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Republican candidate for governor, Ken Block.
Thank you.